Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Vivi the Matadors. You are on with your boy, Albie Shore. I've never been more excited as I am right now. Are you excited, Dylan?
What a time to be alive, or to be alive in a Red Raider fan, because damn, Final Four, we here. We're still dancing.
We're still dancing, and who's dancing with us? We got our boy, Jeremy Gillen on the pod once again, friend of the pod. What's up, Jeremy?
I about smashed my phone yesterday. I contained myself through a number of upset moments, through questionable foul calls, through stupid easy threes, through all kinds of madness. I sent out the game-winning tweet. We won. We did it. I stood up, and I just chucked my phone back, assuming that it would hit the couch, and like, woo! And I, at the same time I yelled, I heard that distinct, you know, your life is over sound of the phone hitting the ground. And I have a hardwood floor. Oh, man.
I mean, but because the grace of Tech winning the championship, that didn't happen.
The phone was unbroken. Yeah.
All good things happened to Tech people this weekend and all this month, because this is the greatest month of all time, of ever. Texas Tech is in the Final Four. This is pretty amazing. So we already got Jeremy. What happened when he found out that Tech was going to the Final Four? What about you, Dylan?
It was very like, I don't know. It was very surreal for me. I didn't really know what to do in the moment. I was just standing in my living room, just at a loss of words and emotions. Like, I just didn't know what to do with myself.
That's kind of how I felt. So fun fact, I watched the entire half. I just took a trip in from Orlando. I had a work conference out there. I took a trip in from Orlando, came in Saturday afternoon, like around 12:30. So I'm watching the game that evening, but I'm at home. I stayed at home at halftime hits, and I'm on the couch, and I fell asleep accidentally, and then woke up with like 8 minutes to go in the half, and Tech is now up by like seven. They have firm control of the game. Mind you, at halftime, it was a toss-up, right? But second half, Tech had firm control of the game, and they never really let up that control throughout the rest of the game. And the whole time, I just thought in my head, I can't believe that this is happening. I cannot believe it at all. It's pretty amazing.
You know, it's like we keep saying, why not us? But now that it is kind of us, I just can't believe it.
So, and the thing about it is so when I was at Tech from 09 to 2013. I was at Tech during the Gillespie days, Billy Clyde days. All right. I was at Tech during the Pat Knight days. That was the lowest moment in Tech basketball history. I don't think Tech basketball has ever been as bad as it was when I was at Texas Tech University. I was in the stadium. I was one of the few people in the stadium. And I'm serious when I say this, because people won't believe that if you actually were at Tech during that time, because nobody was in the stadium then. But I was one of the few people in the stadium. You could hear everything that the players were saying, everywhere the players were saying. All the players sucked. Let's be real. And they all transferred the next year because either they hated the coach or they just weren't that good. So they went to go play. I think a couple players ended up playing JUCO ball after playing a Tech. That's how bad the players were. And it's just the fact that we gone from there, from that season in 2012 to now being in the Final Four 7 years later, is simply amazing.
Well, and then in Chris Beard's 3 years, we have two appearances in the Elite Eight. That's incredible. That's unheard of.
Oh, unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a good one too.
Jeremy over here with the vocabulary.
I've hit my elite level. We're doing so good. We have to step it up a notch on the pod.
That's true. That's true. This is an elite pod. This is a championship level pod, and we're only going to bring championship level commentary. So let's talk about the run, the Tech run, right? So first round, Northern, and we've already kind of discussed some of the games already, but we're going to run it back. First round, Northern Kentucky, a team we should have beaten, a team we did beat. Great. Second round, we got Buffalo. Were either of y'all scared about Buffalo?
Tempo. Yes. I was scared about Buffalo because of the tempo, but clearly that's not an issue for us.
No, Jeremy said straight up, yes.
All year, my personal analysis has been teams that score in the transition are the teams we struggle against because of the way our defense is set up, which is fine because if we can control the pace, we're fine. But teams that I could get in that – Buffalo is one of those teams that just loves to get out in transition, and I was afraid that they were going to do that and just bank. They've shot the most threes they've eclipsed the entire Big 12 with how many threes they've made. So I just naturally, after that Baylor game, I was afraid.
Well, see, and that's not a – I don't think that was a bad fear, because you got to look at this is that you're right. There was not a team like Buffalo or Gonzaga in the Big 12. There was not a team that was a running-gun type team that could outscore you. There was a couple teams that tried to play that way but just simply weren't that good to really put fear – to strike fear in you, like a TCU, for example. So I think that fear was well warranted. I mean, I think the only other team I can think of that was like that to that level was Duke, and we played early in the year and we ended up losing to them. And so I think the fear was warranted. At the same time, just like we might have been scared because of the fact that they could put up points, Buffalo ain't play even close to the defense that Tech had. That's the reason why I wasn't scared, and you saw it in the game, right? You know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So before I get to Gonzaga, what did y'all think about the – so what started out to be the worst game in March Madness history, that game against Michigan?
Dylan?
Well, first of all, Buffalo, if we were to play them in a series, they'd beat us, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, totally. Michigan, yeah, like you said, probably – a really rough first half of that Michigan game. Not fun basketball to watch, but it did show that it's just another team, another type of team that this Texas Tech team can handle.
Okay, listen here. Everybody gets all down and sappy about how, you know, you got slow defensive basketball. It's not fun. It's boring. It's taking too long. No, it was awesome.
No, it wasn't.
It was great. Again, I have realized that if you're going to try to grind it out against this Texas Tech basketball team, you're not going to make it. So when I noticed that Michigan was they were missing their threes, they weren't making easy layups, I knew it. I thought, man, Texas Tech about to take control of this game when people start getting it done.
You know what's funny? Mike Francesca out in New York, on his radio show, he said that – so he picked Michigan to beat Tech. And he said that the reasons he picked Michigan, he thought Michigan was actually had a chance to win the whole thing because John Beilein is an offensive mastermind, that he just has certain sets out of – he said he was the best coach when it came to writing up plays out of timeouts in the entire country, that he was just an offensive wizard, and that would be the difference in this game and the difference for Michigan moving forward. And that was the kiss of death for Michigan's offense this Tech game. They were awful. That game sucked in the first half. You cannot tell me that, you know, that was good defense by both sides. Don't get me wrong. It was also like just crappy offense.
There are stretches of minutes where you're just like, please God, somebody make a bucket.
Yeah, yeah. I was rooting for even Michigan to score at that point. I was like, Ali, somebody score. Like this. So that was, I mean, were you a fan of the Patriots Rams Super Bowl, Jeremy?
I didn't watch that shit.
Okay. All right, then.
Jeremy's over here with CBS's worst nightmare, Texas Tech Virginia National Championship. Jeremy's all for it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, they would hate that. You know what's going to happen? I think we have the first game. I hope we have the first game, which is good because that means they're going to do everything in their power to make sure Virginia doesn't win, if Tech is to win, because that is CBS's worst nightmare. I won't blame anybody for not watching that game if that's the case, but I don't care. We'd win the national championship. Yep. So next game after that. So I prefaced before talking about Tech versus Gonzaga, and I had Gonzaga losing in the second round to Syracuse, and not because I didn't think Gonzaga was a good team, but because Syracuse does really well in the tournament because of their defense and Boeheim's, you know, style of play. It's really hard. It's kind of like the triple option of basketball. It's really hard to game plan for. It was a short period of time. So in my mind was Syracuse would beat Baylor, and then Gonzaga would only have 2 days to game plan against, and Gonzaga's not a great 3-point shooting team. So you have 2 days to game plan against a Syracuse team that will not let you in the paint. So that's why I had them losing in the second round. But I said if Gonzaga makes it past second round, it's going to be pretty tough to beat them in the Elite Eight. And it was kind of shown in the first half. I mean, Gonzaga was running, they were scoring. It looked like they were about to score more points on Tech than anyone had all season. What did y'all think?
Yeah, I mean, we got into early foul trouble, which was super scary, and we were playing the way Gonzaga wanted to play that game. We were running with Gonzaga. We were turning it into a shootout, and that wasn't the recipe to beating Gonzaga. And that was corrected in the second half. But Jeremy?
Here's the irony in that first half is that I was very upset that we were doing so well having a shootout, that we were keeping up, because I knew. I was like, if we keep doing this, it's just I just know Texas Tech, and we're not gonna make it. So that first half sucked watching us go toe-to-toe with Gonzaga offensively, because I knew that if it kept that up.
Jeremy is such a hater of good things.
Okay? I'm not skeptical, man. You know, you have to be as a Tech fan.
Jeremy, who are you? Who the heck would say, I love the first half of Tech versus Michigan, but then just say, that first half of Tech versus Gonzaga.
It was too much scoring. It was too exciting. I hated it.
It was too exciting. Can you believe that after Paskins made a three-pointer, Matt Mooney came by and made another three-pointer? It was awful.
I was, okay, skeptically excited, but you have to be. You have to be.
I mean, skeptically excited is Texas Tech's middle name.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that in the regular season. But when we're playing for a chance of the Final Four, I was like, man, can we just do what we do best?
Welcome to the Skeptically Excited pod presented by Viva the Matadors.
We are skeptically excited. How are you today?
How are you today? So we got to change that mindset. We're no longer typical Tech. Like, that's the thing. We're no longer typical Tech. And we have the second half adjustment god in Chris
Beard. We really do.
Both the Michigan and the Gonzaga game came out of the second half. I mean, really, in both games, I was like, ooh, you know, it's kind of close. But I have faith that Chris Beard will outcoach the other coach in the second half. And that's exactly what happened both times. I'm thinking about the two guys he outcoached, Bayline and Few. Like, he's outcoaching star coaches. Right. I mean, he's making great adjustments. He made a great offensive adjustment in the Michigan game and a great defensive adjustment in the Gonzaga game. It's pretty incredible.
I want to give mega props to Coach Adams as well, because I was reading a hilarious article earlier about the halftime adjustments. I can't remember who it was. I think it was CBS or somebody. About how Texas Tech's halftime adjustments this whole year have been, bar none, one of the best in the country, just in the way that their efficiency changes. And somebody was crediting Coach Adams's halftime speeches or pregame speeches and halftime speeches. And one of them that was noted was there was a mountain lion that attacked a bear, killed a bear. And then a man came up and shot the mountain lion, took the bear, but didn't actually kill the mountain lion. And then the mountain lion killed the man, took the bear back. I don't understand anything about that story. But the fact that that's circulating, that this is like a story that riles people up, riles our team up to do stuff like this, that's hilarious to me. The guy is a defensive guru and a hilarious man and a good boxer in his day.
Another fun Mark Adams story, I think it was the Michigan game, he was whispering in Coach Beard's ear like, hey, we need to make a defensive adjustment. And at that point, they had only scored 4 points in the game. So Coach Beard is just like, hey, no, they've only scored like twice. We're okay.
I mean, that is Coach Adams has really made great adjustments throughout the year, like putting Tariq Owens on guards at times, really limited certain guard play. I mentioned it before in the Iowa State game, which won the Big 12 championship. He put Tariq Owens on Mario Shayok for about 20 minutes of the game, and Mario Shayok was killing us early in the game, went scoreless for a good 20, 25 minutes with that defensive adjustment that you would probably by Mark Adams. And so let me ask you this, because I saw this tweet. Any chance Mark Adams leaves?
Nope.
Apparently he's not really, it seems like he's not really interested in head coaching.
Well, so that's the thing. He's been a head coach before. Like, he's done it for years, a long time. I think he just got inducted to the Wayland Baptist Hall of Fame, right? Like, he's been a pretty successful head coach before. I mean, he's never been a D1 head coach. So if the allure of coaching in Division I excites him, then maybe. But at the same time, and it's the same argument I was having earlier today about people down here in Houston being, you know, worried about Kelvin Sampson leaving. Old people just like comfortability. Like, Mark Adams is old. He's already
and his family's still here.
Right.
His family's still here. He's lived here most of his life. Like, his home is here. He's just comfortable.
Here's
like,
buddies, yeah.
His son played at Tech.
His son's a coach not too far away. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, Mark Adams. I don't know, if UTSA called him or A&M Corpus Christi called him and said, hey, Mark Adams, we would like you to be our head coach. How much more are they going to be paying him? Like, they're not going to pay him over $1 million. They're going to pay him, what, $800,000?
Yeah.
I think right now he's making like $500,000. Like, it's not that big of a difference. Like, it's
right.
That's the thing. That's the same argument I have with the whole Chris Beard thing. Like, everyone's worried about him leaving. I don't know who you're arguing about that on Twitter. Like, look, relax. Money is not going to be an issue. There's really, at this point, I don't see, other than, unless Beard just had this dream of always coaching at his alma mater, which I think he's had a bigger dream of always coaching at Texas Tech, which is odd. That's kind of weird to say. But, I mean, that's the fact of the matter. Chris Beard is Tech. He's the coach that we've always wanted, that's always looked for in any of our athletic programs. He's it. Let's just relish the fact that we have that guy.
If any coach is getting poached, it's Cyphron.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
He gone.
Well, it's Cyprian, actually. Whatever. But that's only
because, whatever.
That's only because I'm Ghanaian, and Cyprian is a very strong Ghanaian name. So shout out to my guy, Cyprian, from the GH. I was about to do a bunch of, you know, local calls, but I'll keep my, you know, my Africanism inside. But yeah, no, Cyprian. Cyprian, there is a chance that he could, you know, move on. I will say one thing I want to know is I would love Norris Odiase to be a grad assistant next year. That'd be awesome.
I think he's got international prospects.
Why?
If someone would pay me, pay me to go play basketball in Greece, I'd do it.
I'm not gonna hate on the Final Four podcast, Norris. Go make your money somewhere, probably as a coach. But it's just a fantastic fact that we are now in the Final Four after beating Gonzaga, beating them the way that we did. So one thing I do want to talk about is, what about some of the other Final Four teams that we have that are going to be joining us? Virginia won a thriller against Purdue. Like, I've never felt so bad for a guy losing like I have for Carson Edwards. Like, he did everything for Purdue to get in the Final Four. And he won MOP. He was the first loser to win MOP of his region since Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing. What did y'all think about that?
Carson Edwards terrified me. Last year when we beat Purdue, I think a lot of it was because they didn't have their big man because of that injury. This year, I think the Purdue definitely stepped up their game. And Carson Edwards definitely 1,000% most of that, especially in the tournament. The dude put up stupid numbers, and like, we got to see it again. And I thought for sure when we started throwing up the ball again, just started getting those easy looks, and then the difficult looks, and was just netting everything. I thought, boom, Virginia, suck it, I'm gonna get run over by Purdue. And then, they go to overtime, and all of a sudden Virginia gets the second wind, and I was just like, man, because
Kyle Guy's a man.
I mean, you can't deny that, but it's like, you feel bad because it's so, you got a guy that works so hard and does so much, and then you lose. It's just like, damn. Where's the rest of the team?
Carson Edwards was on like a Kemba-esque run, and just watching him play, you thought they were unstoppable. You thought they were going to go all the way, and had they gone all the way, he would have been remembered like a Kemba and a Steph Curry in this tournament, but yeah, Virginia.
I still think he will be, to be honest. Like, I think, I don't think he might not be the most memorable like Kemba was, because I do think you might need to win the championship. Usually you need to win the championship.
Yeah, you got
to
win.
But I do think that Carson Edwards is always one player that had a ridiculous tournament that shoots up the draft boards. And I think that's Carson Edwards in this one. Right. I think he just had an absolutely amazing game. I was rooting for him. That's for sure. I think the Purdue team was the same Purdue team from last year that we played, because the guys that were injured, you know, graduated. So they were the exact same team, just a year older and a year better. And Carson Edwards went from, I think they had him as like a mid to late first round pick. Now, I mean, how is he not a lottery pick at this point? Like, now you got to be like, man, this guy can ball. Put a 42 in the Elite Eight. Like, got to get him. All right, so then the games that happened today on a Sunday, Kentucky Auburn. And you know what? I'm very happy for Auburn because Auburn's in a very similar situation to Texas Tech. Not an extensive basketball history. Auburn's had situations where they've been good, but for the most part of their history, they've been fairly mediocre. And so the fact that they actually, I would say Tech basketball actually had a better history, but that's besides the point. But now Auburn reached their first Final Four in their history. They're, you know, just as excited down there in Alabama. What did y'all think about that game?
If you had noticed, Charles Barkley went to Auburn. Just FYI, if you missed that,
that's
somehow this weekend.
Only thing. That is literally the only thing they have.
I couldn't remember.
But anyways, I want to see Auburn in a championship game. If I'm picking between Auburn and Virginia, I want to see Auburn because they hang their hat on 3-point shooting, and we shut that down real good.
I'll say this: I want to see Auburn also because, like, honestly, man, if we lose in the national championship, I'd be okay with Auburn being the only the team we get. Like a team very similar as programs, right? It'd be with both Auburn and Tech, first ever Final Four for both teams, the best teams in both history, in both programs' histories. The fact, you know, just both teams really just grinded it out, started from the bottom. Two wonderful coaches and hard-nosed coaches in Bruce Pearl and Chris Beard. I wouldn't call Bruce Pearl a wonderful person, but he is a hard, tough-nosed coach. So I would love – I am also rooting for Auburn in that game. Jerm?
Yeah. I've been upset earlier with the chalkiness of the tournament table and that there was no really big upsets. There was no surprises, really, outside of my crappy picks. Thanks, Louisville. And I was waiting for a team kind of like Tech – to do something worthwhile, because there's always that discussion like, oh, we were doubted. Oh, people aren't giving us this respect. And like 99% of the time, that doesn't follow through. It has in our case, which is awesome. And in another case, Auburn, even though in that game they started to get down early, and I was like, well, Kentucky's going through. They grounded out, and their finish was fantastic. They turned it on in overtime, and that was I'm really happy for them. I'm glad that Auburn went through and Kentucky didn't, even though it screwed my bracket up.
It's also surprising that they're going without one of their starters.
Yeah.
They're going out with one of their starters. He's out torn ACL, out for this year and probably next, unfortunately. But they're grinding through for him, you know. So now they have a rallying cry behind it. They're not going to win, though. They're not going to be Virginia.
What gets them, the defense or Virginia's somehow offense?
Both.
Virginia guards the three ball too well.
They guard the three ball amazingly, and I think they have the two best players on the court in Kyle Guy and DeAndre Hunter.
Mm.
So, Virginia's – I'd be pretty surprised if Virginia doesn't win that game, to be honest.
Same.
Mind you, Virginia's only lost three games all season, like, and two of them were to the same team. So, like – it's going to be really tough to beat Virginia. And not only that, but Virginia has a rallying cry because the only way that Virginia can get the stench of the round of 16 loss away is winning a national championship. Like, that's the only way that Tony Bennett and that Virginia group, that team, can get the stench of that terrible loss away is winning a championship. That's it.
That also would make that upset so much more impressive.
Yeah, for UMBC.
Yeah.
But at least it makes it impressive for UMBC. But at the very least, if you're Virginia, you don't get clowned about as much. Like, if somebody's you lost to the 16 seed. You're like, yeah, but we won the championship.
It's like, no, that was a fluke. We won the whole thing. Yeah.
The whole thing. Yeah. So, but that's it. I think that's the only side. I think they know that. Like, I think Tony Bennett knows it. I think, like, the old program knows it. The players know it. The only way they can get the stench of that loss off of them is winning a national championship. If they lose the national championship, that's even worse.
That's right. Oh God, that would suck.
Yeah, it's even worse. They lose a national championship, then they're not only the team that lost in the round of 16, but the team that couldn't even pull it all the way. Like, they have to do it all the way. So they're going to be a tough one. But I also want to talk about the other game that happened: Michigan State, Duke. Zion and RJ Barrett are out of the tournament. It's kind of what I've been talking about all year, me being a Duke watcher. You have to have veteran leadership to win. You have to have it. And even though Duke is still the most talented team in the country, I don't even think it's close, they're the most talented team in the country, without veteran leadership, without having guys like Lawrence Odiasse, like Tariq Owens, like Matt Mooney, guys that are over 21, you cannot win.
And to your point, every team that's left in the tournament has veteran leadership.
Yeah, every single one. And so Michigan State was able to do it. This is one of the best. You know, I saw a tweet the other day that said this is Tom Izzo's best coaching job. Is it?
Yes. Michigan State team. Yes, it is.
No, they're
But I don't feel like they had the superstar of the Jaren Jackson or Miles Bridges. Cassius Winston is he is a superstar, but yeah. They're not as top-loaded as they usually are as a team.
Cassius Winston is their Draymond Green. He's just as – I mean, man, well, maybe he's not just as good as Draymond Green was. But
he's not.
He's not. But
he's not even – he's like Denzel Valentine maybe.
Yeah, okay. I take that. Denzel Valentine is a Michigan State legend.
Yeah, but he wasn't like the superstar NBA prospect.
That he was an All-American. But he's an All-American. Denzel Valentine was a first-round pick. Denzel Valentine got drafted higher than Draymond Green.
Well, yeah, but he's not any good.
I mean, yes, you're right, but I don't know. I think this Michigan State team is stacked. I don't agree with that this is the best coaching job, yada, yada, yada. I'm not saying it's not a good coaching job. It is. But this team is a very good team. Like, top to bottom, they're a very good team. With Winston, with Tillman, McQuaid, like, they have very good guards. You know, one thing that's kind of weird is that their big man isn't as strong as usual. You know, they don't have the Jaren Jackson or the Draymond Green like we were just talking about. But at the same time, Goins plays big. I don't know. I like this Michigan State team. I think they're really deep. But I definitely think that they're very beatable against Tech.
I think you're right in that they're very deep. Like, they have five or six guys who are very, very good players, but I'm just arguing their star power. But they are absolutely beatable, and Chris Beard's just going to have another hell of a coaching job to pull us out.
Well, here's what I'll say, because we're not going to go necessarily into an in-depth pod. We will have another pod before this national championship semifinal pod. But what I will say about this game is that has there been a game this year, with the exception of the game against Duke, that Jarrett Culver was not the best player on the court?
No, he still is the best player on the court, Albie.
You talking about, like, performance-wise?
No, I'm talking about, like, just...
Are you
just,
trying to say Cassius Winston is better than Jarrett Culver? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm not. Is what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying, like, that's going to be the thing, is that once again we're going to have another game where Jarrett Culver is the best player on the court. And I think the only time we're going to see a situation where he may not be is if we play Virginia. That is the only time, and the only other game this year that we've had all year where Jarrett Culver was not the best player on the court, unless you think Dedrick Lawson was better, which I don't, but that's debatable. The only other game that Jarrett Culver was not the best player on the court was against Duke, right? And even in that game, you could argue that he played as if he was the best player on the court. But in this game against Michigan State, he will be the best player on the court. And if by some, you know, by the grace of God, we make it to the championship game and we play Virginia, that's probably going to be the first game since the Duke game that he might not be the best player on the court. But if you have the best player on the court, usually that equals a W.
And it could be argued he's the best player left in the tournament. But I think we match up really well against that team. And I like a potential Matt Mooney, Cassius Winston matchup.
One thing I'll say about this game coming up is that, and one thing that's different about any Tech team than ever before, this Tech team isn't scared. They're not going to be, you got to look at this. And another reason why I think Auburn's going to get whooped by Virginia is because usually when the Cinderella team, when the George Masons, the Florida Gulf Coasts, the South Carolinas go to the Final Four, their eyes get wide. They can't believe they've done what they've done. They can't. It's incredible. It's amazing. They go through all the festivities. You know, this the story, this, that, and the other. And then they get whooped in the national semifinal because the Bellman's too big for them. And usually because they're just simply not that good in the first place, right? Like, usually when you get to the Final Four, The reason why the Final Four is so great is because anybody can get to the Final Four. But usually when you get to the Final Four, the best team prevails. Like you know, that's usually what happens. Usually the better team prevails at that point. And which is why I think it's going to happen to Auburn, because the simple fact of the matter is they're just simply not better than Virginia, and the bump's going to be too big for them. Tech, however, you can't really argue to me that Michigan State's that much better of a team, and I don't think the moment's going to be too big for them. They just beat Gonzaga. They've already went toe-to-toe with Duke and Madison Square Garden. They've already, you know, won the Big 12 championship, right? Like they've already done these things. So a part of me is kind of like, why would the moment be too big for them?
It isn't.
It is.
It isn't. And I think that's a lot on Coach Beard. If you heard one of the post game in the locker room speeches he was giving to his guys was saying, you know, we came to win this four-team tournament. We won this four-team tournament. We're going to go face another four-team tournament next week, and our goal is to win that four-team tournament. He's not even talking. His rhetoric's not even talking about, this is the biggest, oh, this is a national championship. We're going to win everything. It's be great. He's keeping it small ball for these guys. And he's saying, like, look, we have a job to beat two teams in this four-team tournament. That's all we have to do, and we're going to prepare to do that. And, like, the way that Beard has, like, even though he's not been at this – he's never been to a Final Four. He's never going to be to a championship if we get to go before. And it's like he's not overwhelmed by the moment. He's sticking to Coach Beard coaching. And, like, well, it's what works.
Well, think about this also, right? Think about this also. When we had two games to go, he told the team, you have two more games, like you said, two games to go and you're a Big 12 champion. Think about that. Two games to go and you're a Big 12 champion. Let's go get these two games. Let's go become Big 12 champions, right? So now he's going to be talking to this team. Two games to go in your national championship champions. That's why I don't feel like the moment's not too big for any of these players, because they've already been through all of it. They've already been through the unimaginable,
yep.
Right? They've already ended Kansas's streak. They've already went toe-to-toe against Duke. And when I watched that Duke game, I don't believe in moral victories unless you suck, right? And that was still an L. And it's still, but it's one of the very few times I felt better about the team after a loss. Because I remember thinking to myself, we might have lost, but if we play this team again, I have 100% confidence that Tech can beat the team. And I now know, like, if Duke would have beat Michigan State, I'm going in that game saying, I think Tech wins. Because I know they've already played them. They already know they can play with them. They're not worried about that. They did it in Madison Square Garden. So what the hell Minneapolis going to do?
Right.
So, and that's kind of the thing about this Tech team, that I don't think there's ever been another Tech team that I felt the moment was too big for them. This is the first time I've ever felt a Tech team, the stage wasn't too big. And I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but remember 08 football Tech after the big Crabtree catch and all that other stuff? Then they played Oklahoma. The moment was too big.
Yeah.
Played an egg. Then went to Cotton Bowl against Ole Miss. Moment was too big. Well, the moment wasn't even big. They just sucked in that game. Right? Like, there have been so many times. College World Series. Tech makes College World Series for the first time. Moment's too big. They're losing, like, back-to-back games easily. Right? Tech track and field. Coming to the track and field tournament as the number two team in the nation. They ended up, like, freaking 12th. Right? Like, there's so many times in Tech history that I felt the moment is too big. And who knows? Maybe that'll happen again. I just don't. They've given me nothing to make me feel like the moment is too big for them, because they've already went through so many moments that were already too big.
And I think that's one of the most important things Chris Beard has done with this team, is instilled this mindset, like, why not us? We are perfectly capable of getting this done. And it's funny because we talk about a culture change and how Matt Wells is trying to implement a culture change. Well, Chris Beard has done it, because, as we said earlier in the pod, skeptically optimistic is how Texas Tech used to operate. You know, 2 years ago, if we were in this position, I'd be like, oh, I don't know. This is something feels weird about this. But now, so much so as he changed the mindset of the players, it's transcended to the fans and everybody else, to where I'm not scared. I have utmost confidence that this team can get it done. And that's just a testament to Chris Beard.
And even if we get to the final, Virginia's like three losses. But it's like, how many three losses teams have we played already? And there's, like we're all just reiterating, nothing has been out of the experience of this team this year, and they know it, right?
Yeah, the way I look at it, man, if we can hold a beeline school to 44, we can outpace Gonzaga. We can we have played so four completely different styles and beat every single style, right? With the way that we play basketball, with the way that Texas Tech plays basketball. And I truly believe this team can go all the way. They can legitimately win a championship. We're right now 2.5 point underdogs against Michigan State. Spoiler alert, I'm picking Tech to win the semifinal game. That's how much confidence I have. Spoiler alert, I'm probably not picking them to win the championship if Virginia's in there. But it's a celebratory pod, so we're not going to go into that. But Tech is, you know, this is just, it's pretty amazing how it's gone. About to cry on the pod. I don't want to do that, fellas.
It's just such a good team. It's so special.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Jeremy, were you in Lubbock? You're in Lubbock right now, right?
Yeah.
So how is the entire city burned to the ground?
No, I did go out the Michigan game. I stopped by the garden, beer garden downtown, and that place was packed with fans. Kind of upset me because I was sitting down and I couldn't like see the TV, which was stupid. So I ended up standing up anyways. But man, I've never seen a city like, it's just people walking around everywhere, people going into bars, going out of bars during the games. And it's like everybody, the city is alive, that's for sure, with anticipation. It's like you can feel, I mean, if we end up beating Michigan State, I don't think it's going to be more of the same. But like once that championship game swings around, this place is, it's ready to boil over. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, so I the biggest moment I had while I was in Lubbock was whenever Tech went into Oklahoma and ended that home winning streak. And the entire city was just – it was amazing. It was one of the best athletic nights of maybe my life. Like, that was how incredible that was. And I wasn't even that great of – like, we just – you know, it was a regular season football win on the road against, like, a fifth-ranked team. Where, you know, that wasn't something like –
That was a hell of a win. I remember exactly where I was for it that was, win. I have a great story I will tell. I have a great story to tell after the pod about that game, but continue.
But comparatively, that's nothing to this, right? And so I'm just saying, if Tech wins a national championship, the entire city of Lubbock will burn to the ground. And it'll be glorious.
I'm expecting like a Philadelphia-like celebration.
Yes, like, I expect nothing.
Knocking over lampposts, people licking poo, yeah. Like all of it.
I expect nothing less. So, Jeremy, we got to end this pod. It's been a great time, but where can people find you on Twitter?
Because I'm posting my own graphics now and funny memes, I guess. You can find me at Jeremy Dane, JeramEyDane.
So, would you say, Jeremy, that you have a dank meme stash?
You know, I don't know if I've earned it. I'm trying.
Well, some people on this podcast think they've earned it, and they haven't.
Yeah. Dank meme stash. Write the check.
I'm not talking like some on this podcast.
You know, Dylan, where can people find you? Not at Dank meme stash.
At Dank meme stash. _ Dylan Smythe. Meme stash dank.
That's not where people can find you.
No, it's fine.
People will look you up and be what's like, where the hell is this guy?
I don't think I've ever gotten a follower for me saying my name at the end of a podcast, so whatever, it's fine.
You don't know. I have. People like me.
You don't know that.
Okay. People like me. As always, you can find me at Mr. _AlbieShore, AlbieShore. Hey, follow us on Twitter, at Viva the Matadors. Follow us on Instagram. IG's blowing up. You want to get all the great graphics that Jeremy, that Liz, that all the other people want to put up. It's on IG. And then, I mean, like us on Facebook. But if you're a progressive podcaster, you should always have Facebook and Twitter anyway. Because Twitter is a wonderful app. And Facebook, you just, I don't know, you get weird memes and stuff. Not dank memes, just weird memes. But for Jeremy, for Dylan, this is AlbieShore. Texas Tech is a Final Four team. This is a Final Four podcast. Stay wrecked, people.